You know, the first time we met Sonny Vanderbeck, it was, I don't know, it was over 20 years ago, and he's a 20-something, and he was this phenom who finished high school at 16 and became CEO of Data Return, and it was a NASDAQ company, and it just exploded and was incredibly successful. Then he got caught up in the crash of the 2000s, and, all this has boiled down to a new book that's out called Selling Without Selling Out. Sonny Vanderbeck joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you.
You were still a young man, but you have lived many, 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 many years.
It's been about 50 years in the last 20.
So being caught up in the go-go technology times of the 90s, I remember when we talked, this is a web hosting company, and I had no idea what a web hosting company was, and I just could not screw my head around it. But you were right there, and right at the very beginning of all this.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got to experience a year worth of business every quarter.
And then, so then everything fell apart, and your stock, which had been in the 90s, went to the pennies or something or other, and you looked around and said, we've got to sell this thing to preserve it, right?
Yeah, so here's how the story went. We ultimately decided the right next step for the business was to sell it. We sold it to another public company. We got about 20% of their company in trade for our company. They're a pretty big company. Within 12 months, that company filed for bankruptcy. Now, the good news is we got to buy it back. And so we actually got another shot at the thing. We got to buy it back. And
you shorted your own company.
I would never say that, but it worked out okay.
But those were tough times. But yeah, it's interesting in reading your book, Selling Without Selling Out. I mean, and the subtitle, How to Sell Your Business Without Selling Your Soul, is it's really interesting. You're very paternalistic toward the company, and you found a company, but it happens all the time. Yeah, CEOs, entrepreneurs find companies, and they go out and get some financing, and then the financing people say, oh, we love your company, and by the way, we've got somebody here we want to bring in to run it, and then, you go off and clip coupons or something. That's the pattern, isn't it?
You see that pretty often, yeah. I was fortunate to not be in that pattern. A bit from being a lifelong learner, a bit from just being one half a step ahead of everybody else, and a bit from, at the time, many people didn't even understand what we did.
So tell me your primary concern. Was it just sort of pride of authorship, or was it going back in and saving the people that you had assembled at the company?
Yeah, so I think we had set out to build something great, and we felt like we had, and we were almost there. So when that transaction closed, we were about 90 days away from profitability. And so I stayed on. When we sold the company, I stayed on, an important distinction. And so got new business cards, was there for a year running the business unit, learned that I'm not really good at being a business unit leader. I'm much happier as CEO. And so over the course of that year, other business units had lots of challenges, and that was sort of the beginning of the end for the company that owned us.
And Data Return came back. So whatever happened to Data Return?
Yeah, so came back. We got our old business cards out of the drawer, rebuilt what had been broken, and went back out to market and had a great another 4 or 5 years, and ended up selling it the right way to the right buyer the second time in early 2007.
A lot of your attitude seems to be incorporated in what is now known as conscious capitalism. I'm not sure that existed, in the 90s when you had this attitude. But we've talked to a lot of people. John Mackey from Whole Foods has been on Kip Timmel recently, Brian Schultz from Studio Movie Grill, and yourself. And you're one of the leaders in this whole concept of conscious capitalism. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so here's the idea. I'll give you a couple of core tenets of the idea. So first, if you draw your time horizon out past the end of your own shoes, what you'll find out is that there are a set of behaviors that are pretty consistent. So the stories we hear about great companies always turn out like this. Customers love them, employees love them, they're great citizens in their community, they're great to be a supplier to, et cetera. It turns out that profit is a lagging indicator of creating value for all these stakeholders. Right? Where are the companies with all of these happy stakeholders that aren't also great outcomes for their investors? And so we think that a lot of times when you have this profit first mentality or profit at any cost, it actually reduces profit. So the way to get more profit, the paradox is not go straight after profit, it's go after more value for customers, more value for employees, and so forth.
That almost dictates being a private company, though, doesn't it? Because otherwise, if you're public, and you've been public, you were on the NASDAQ for, and very successful at the NASDAQ for a long time, but every 3 months you have to open your kimono to the whole world.
It's very difficult to do this as a public company, but it's not impossible. So it's just extraordinarily difficult.
So tell me what you're doing now. You've got an investment firm. You're not a CEO anymore, really.
I suppose not. Yeah, I'm a managing partner in an investment firm. So we started this firm called Satori Capital, and here was the idea. My partner, co-founder Randy Eisenman, and I had spent a lot of time with and around investors, and we just didn't like how their deal worked. We didn't like the structure of how it worked, how they related to companies. And so we said, look, we can complain about this, but we're entrepreneurs, or we can just go fix it. And so we set out to go fix it, and here's what that means. So our capital is long-term, so our investors have signed up with us to say, look, when we exit a company, we'll exit it when it's time. We have no artificial timeline by which we must sell the company.
So you're Warren Buffett's.
I appreciate the honor of you calling me that. I won't say it, but you can. But yeah, the point of being able to take a longer perspective on things was really important. And then the second piece was, look, let's be full of people who are both investors and operators. If we make an investment and we can't help the company, then we're not really helping anything. And so we tend to focus where we can make a difference for these companies. And then finally be supporters of conscious capitalism.
Is it tougher for companies now to get the capital? I mean, I remember the old model, and it wasn't all that long ago, but everybody would show up at the 16th floor of Galleria Tower and go in front of Seven Rosen or, you know, Dallas Capital or HO2 investors or whatever, and line up, you know, a bunch of people to support them. And now it seems like the mechanism has changed.
It works a little different now. And I can't speak a lot to venture capital because that's not the part of the market where we operate. But in general, what I hear from CEO friends is it's a lot easier if you're on one of the coasts to raise capital. The market we operate tends to be companies with 100 to about 1,000 employees. And in that case, there is lots and lots of capital out there. But part of the premise of the book is if you only care about price, it's easy to find capital. But if you care about anything else, you have to do a little more work.
If you're in a position, beggars can't be choosers sometimes.
That's true, yes.
So, and one of the pieces of advice I got out of this book is that anybody thinking about selling their company should read this well before they sell the company.
Yeah, I set out to write the book that I wish I had read before I sold my company the first time.
Do you give it to the CEOs of all the companies that you invest in?
I do. I give the book away every day and happy to do it because I wish I would have had a copy of it, you know, 20 years ago when we spoke.
Well, the cool thing about you is my sense is you're just getting started. We'll have a different conversation 20 years ago, and you'll be doing something interesting, and I look forward to that one, too.
I'll look forward to that, too.
Meanwhile, we'll send people to Amazon or wherever. Selling Without Selling Out by Sonny Vanderbeck. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Sonny Vanderbeck, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.